David, sing the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? Well, there are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. That's all I want to say.
See you in the house of the Lord this morning on this Mother's Day. I want to wish all of you mothers a happy Mother's Day, and I hope you have a great day. And we are just blessed to be able to be in this house this morning. Some are visiting. We have some that are with their mothers today, and we're thankful for that. But it is so good to see you here, and we just pray the Lord would give you a great day. I told the choir this morning I'm going to feature a few of my favorite mothers this morning in singing. And that would be one of them. That's our First Lady here at Calvary. And we are so thankful for her. And I told her this morning how much I appreciate her. And I look back over times past, and I remember, I'll share with you what I shared with the choir this morning. I remember Marcia Turner and how she loved and cared for our kids. She took our kids when they were growing up under her wing, and she taught them about the love of the Lord. She taught them the Word of God, and I was so thankful for her. And then came along Miss Christie, and she has done the same. I see her, how she loves our kids. She loves them from the time that they're small, and I'm so thankful for that. She takes care of our grandkids and has loved them and taught them and teaches them continually. And we are very thankful, and we are very blessed today to have our pastor's wife. And she is one of my favorite mothers, and we have kind of showcased her this morning, and we'll have a couple more that will come along in a few minutes that are some of my favorites as well. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask Him to be with us today in a special way. Father, we love You and we praise You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to be in Your house today. Lord, what a great day it is, Lord, that we might just, Lord, our minds and our thoughts would go toward our mothers. Lord, we want to today just to have a great day in the house of the Lord. But Lord, we want to worship you. We want to praise you. Lord, we'll recognize our mothers today, and we are thankful for them. But Lord, I know that a mother's heart is to point people to Calvary, point people to Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the mothers that have done that and continue to do that in this building here today. Lord, I pray that you just give us a great day. Lord, accept our worship and our praise. Be with those that are going through a difficult time. Lord, maybe some are traveling today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. But Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor in a few moments when he comes to share the word. Lord, I pray that you would speak through him, Lord, in a powerful way today. Again, Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you for what you have done, for what you'll do in this place today. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. We'll praise you and we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you stand, join the choir, turn with me over to page 393. Page 393. And we're going to sing When We All Get to Heaven. Sound room. They've been going through some challenges back there, but they're working on a brand new program and getting all that put together. So we're patient with them, and I know that they're going to do a tremendous job to get this thing all back up and running. Again, we have a new program back there, so that is a little bit of the glitch. I know everybody's looking at their watch. You know how people are in a Baptist church. Lord of mercy, we've done lost 5 minutes here. But, and let me also say, in case if you were here last week, remember I told you we now have a drive-through. Well, the drive-through is now closed. And we're thankful for the work that went on yesterday and the rain and everything else. And Brother David and everybody that was there with him, I know he probably had a great part in that yesterday, and others joined in to help. But the drive-through is now closed, and we have a new fence. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. But please just remember, continue to pray about that little situation. But let's go to him again in a word of prayer this morning. And it's great. I didn't realize they were going to be here. I understand they were here on Wednesday evening. It's great to have Brother Don and Miss Carla with us this morning. And I'm going to ask Brother Don if he would take us a little word of prayer, ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. It's great to see you.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to come into your house each week. Every time these doors are open, Lord, so we can come in, hear your voice, preach through your word. Father, we pray that you help us. What we're here today for our life. We thank you for this day. We're celebrating Mother's, Lord. We just thank you for each one that is here. And Father, for everyone that gives us one, I pray a special blessing for those who would love to give but just don't have it today. Lord, pray that you bless them. Help us to realize that what we give doesn't matter. It's just that if we give it
Notice the words to this song. We've sung it several times now. But what a meeting that's going to be over on the other side. I wish I could go to my mother today and say, Mama, I love you. I can only do that at a distance. Oh, I love her and how I miss her. But one of these days, one glorious morning, we will have a meeting like we've never had before. And what a meeting it's going to be over on the other side. No more sadness, no more misery, no more grief, no more pain, and no more death when we get over there. You listen this morning as the choir sings, What a Meeting in the Air.
So far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. What a happy day.
do a couple things before we get into the message this morning. First of all, I'd like to say happy birthday to Miss Christy Teague. It is her birthday today, so happy birthday to you, and good to see you. There she is. Forgive my editing there. It's a little blurred, but anyway, we just love you. So good to see all of y'all back together, and Miss Connie, so good to have you back with us this morning. You have been through enough, haven't you? Been through enough, and so good to have you back with us. Happy Mother's Day to you, and happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And after all, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here. And so we love you and appreciate each and every one of you. I want to mention a couple prayer requests. Of course, continue to remember Brother Leonard and Sister Dolores Palmer in your prayers, as he is off all medications and they're just trusting the Lord with his life. So remember them if you would. Remember Bobby McClendon. He has scheduled to have a heart cath, I believe, on the 30th, if I'm correct on that. And please remember Brother Bobby. We prayed him through one of them, and we'll pray him through another. And we love Brother Bobby. And little Gracie this morning, Sister Brooke's daughter, I believe y'all went to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta late last night and didn't get home at like 5-something this morning. And she's having some issues medically, and she's okay right now, but she's not trying to embarrass anybody, but she definitely needs your prayers. And so please remember Sister Brooke and Brother Dakota and their sweet family, if you would. And I do want to say this, at the end of the service, please stay. We want to honor all mothers, and so that'll be a very special time. No service tonight. Next Sunday is graduation Sunday in the morning. Looking forward to that. CLU as well. Time to be announced. I am calling the men for a prayer meeting. While the women are having their meeting, I am calling the men that would show up so that we can pray for our church and the direction of our church in this year as we begin to launch our outreach program, and VBS is right around the corner. Got a lot of things going on, really wanting the Lord to bless us. And so remember that, CLU. And then men's prayer meeting after along with that. I do want to say this, that we're going to have a family movie night on the 31st, and we need helpers. Please see Brother Dakota, Sister Brooke, if you would, if you're interested in that. And I do want to say thank you so much for those who have repaired the fence. What a blessing. They try to break us down out there and drive through us, and we just keep on building. So thank the Lord for the builders of the church. All right, well, there's something I want to show. I want to show a video this morning, and this is a tribute to all you mothers. We love you. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to my grandmother, my other mother, who was there for many, many years. I even told my grandpa happy Mother's Day. Both of them were there through the thick and the thin, unmovable, steadfast, doors always open. And I appreciate my Aunt Patty as well, as she has been there for me through the years and takes care of her parents, my grandparents. What a blessing y'all are. We love you and thank you for everything. So this video is for all of you mothers, and then we'll bring the message.
To the mothers and all the women who've cared for us. To the grandmothers, the spiritual mothers, and the waiting mothers. To the foster moms, the single moms, and the stepmoms. To the mentors, friends, guardians, and guides. To those who loved us, taught us, and showed us the way. To those who carried us, held our hand, and watched us grow. To those who experienced blessing this year, and to those who went through loss. To the heroic women all around us, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your courage, your kindness, and your faith in God. Thank you for shaping us, nurturing us, and walking with us through life. Thank you for showing us what it looks like to love and follow Jesus. Thank you for your prayers, your wisdom, and for never giving up on us. Thank you for boldly stepping into this high and holy calling. Thank you for the long nights and the short years and for the incredible joy. Whether this is a day of reflection, rejoicing, or remembering, we acknowledge you, we honor you, and we thank you today. Happy Mother's Day.
Four mothers, and just wanted to share that brief video with you just as a tribute to say how much we love you and what a blessing mothers are, and what a blessing today is already being here, and a good crowd. Appreciate the singing this morning, Brother Allen, the direction you led us in. We will have a special song as we hand out the Mother's Day gifts at the conclusion of the service, which will follow the invitation time. So remember that. Just don't go nowhere just yet. All right. Matthew 15 this morning. If you would, Matthew 15. In just a moment, we're going to read verse number 21 through 28. As you're turning there, I want to say that this Mother's Day message is for mothers this morning, but can be applied to fathers as well. And really, it can be applied to the individual person. It can be applied to all of us, but we're highlighting it to mothers because it's Mother's Day, and there is a mother story here. But however the Holy Spirit seems fit to apply the message, that's what we're asking God to do. This is an unconventional style Mother's Day message this morning, but it's needful. And so I hope that you would take it to heart and to know that it's coming from a good place from my heart in the day and time in which we're living. One of the hardest things to do as a pastor is develop a Mother's Day sermon. Why is that so hard? Well, it's the same reason you spend a great deal of time searching through the Hallmark cards, trying to find the perfect card that will convey how deeply you feel about your mother. So, Christy's my wife, but I call her mom too. I call her mom or mama. And so we went and got her the biggest balloon we could find and the prettiest card we could find. And of course, I tied it on the door outside the door and trying to convey how much that Lily and I appreciate her and all the hats that she wears. Interesting fact here, the founder of Mother's Day was a lady named Anna Jarvis. She spent 40 years developing the concept. Her drive to create the holiday reached fulfillment in 1914 with a presidential proclamation by Woodrow Wilson. So this morning, I believe we all owe a debt of gratitude to Anna Jarvis, who came up with the idea of Mother's Day. What a blessing. This morning, I want to start reading out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 15. I want to begin verse number 21 down through verse number 28. Matthew 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'm going to stop reading there. That's reading Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21 down through verse number 28. I want to call your attention specifically to verse number 22, if I could. That last phrase of verse 22 where the woman says, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I want to preach for a few moments on this Mother's Day Sunday morning on how a mother fights the devil. How a mother fights the devil. Whether we realize it or not, the devil is after our kids. We need some moms this morning who are more interested in faith than fashion. We need some moms this morning who are more interested in decency than degeneracy. We need some moms this morning who are more interested in love for God than love for a good time. We don't just need good moms this morning, we need godly moms. Because the devil and the world is after your children and mine. And so this morning, with that said, I want to look at this story. And we have a mother who fought the devil, and she won. And again, this message is for mothers because it's a mother story. But at the same time, it's for fathers, it's for individuals, it's for however the Holy Ghost wants to apply it this morning. Three things I want to mention about this particular subject of how a mother fights the devil. Number one, we see that she had a problem. Verse number 22, again, that latter part, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Grievously vexed. The word grievously means very severe. Vexed means troubled. So we see that this woman's daughter was very severely troubled with the devil. And I want to say about this particular situation that this mother knew exactly what was wrong with her child. She knew the devil was after her daughter. Can I say this morning that God has given mothers the ability to know some things? Young person, don't think you're fooling your mother because you're not. Your mother has been given the gift of discernment from an almighty God, and they know what's going on in your life. So God has given mothers the ability to know. And there's two things they know among many, and that is, mothers know there is a devil, and mothers also know, or they should know, that the devil wants their children. The devil wants to lead their children astray. The devil wants to lead their children astray and embrace a counterfeit kind of happiness this world has to offer. The devil ultimately wants to destroy. And so this is two things that a mother knows or should know, is that there's a devil and he wants your child. I believe this morning there's not a mother here, if she knew that someone was out to destroy her children, would do everything she could to keep that from happening. Any mother here would protect their child, doesn't matter what the situation is. That's why mothers should bring their children to church and study the Bible with them and pray so they can be taught how they can overcome the temptations of the devil who is trying to destroy their lives. Doesn't matter how much a mother may prosper in the world. Doesn't matter how much a mother may prosper in finances. If she is not prospering spiritually, she's missing the mark. A mother needs to know strategy and needs to know spiritual strategy. 1 Peter 5:8, don't turn there, I'll give it to you. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so this morning, the mother in our text, she had a problem. And she knew what it was. The devil wanted her daughter. And so number one, she had a problem. Number two, this morning, she had a plan. She had a plan. Notice verse number 22 again. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Well, who's the him? The him is Jesus. Verse 1 tells us that Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Well, she came out to meet him. She had a problem. The devil was after her daughter, and she went straight for Jesus when she saw him. Many mothers this morning don't know what to do with their problems in general in life. Many moms, they talk to other moms who can't solve their own problems, or many moms, they just check out mentally and or they try to numb out their emotional pain because they don't know what to do. Many moms are having heart attacks. Their lives are being shortened because they don't know how to deal with their problems, or they don't want to. I heard a story not long ago of a mother that was accused of Munchausen by proxy. Now, Munchausen by proxy is a mental illness where a person would use their child for a medical excuse for attention or money. Okay? But this particular situation, this child was sick. I remember as the story unfolded that one night they were living in Florida and thunder and lightning started. The little kid got scared, and she was just, you know, just totally terrorized, and that set off something in her body. And through that experience, she started developing welts, and her body was locking up. She truly had a problem. And this mother, she was diligent. She went to the doctors, and they tried to find answers and help. And so the child services got involved, and they said, "Well, you're just trying to use your daughter for gain. You have Munchausen by proxy." And there's a lot of people, a lot of parents who do that. And if their child doesn't have a problem, they kind of create a problem so they can get the attention and the money. Munchausen by proxy. I want to tell you, this story didn't end well. This mother, she was not allowed to see her daughter. The dad was allowed to see the daughter. The kids were allowed to see. The siblings were allowed to see their sister, whatnot. But the mother was not the mother. She just lost hope. She didn't know what to do. And listen, I told you I was going to be real this morning. Authentic and genuine. Not a normal Mother's Day message. But the dad, the wife, the husband walked in the garage and the mother had took her life hanging from the ceiling. She died. She took her life. She was wrestling and she was trying to figure out what to do. And many mothers this morning, they're trying to figure out what to do, whether it's a stray child, whether it's a terrible job, whether it's family problems, whether it's debt. I don't know, what have you. On and on and on and on we go. So the question is, Mom, what are you going to do with your problems? What are you going to do with the life that you have and the cards that you've been dealt? This mother in our story, in our text, she had one of the most serious problems you could ever have, and that is the devil was after her baby. I want to tell you, don't bury your head in the sand this morning, parent. The devil wants your child. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't be naive to think you can outsmart the devil. You're no match for him. I'm no match for the devil. And listen, he is strategic. And the Bible says, be not ignorant of the devil's devices. Let us this morning have a plan. This mother had a plan. And her plan was to go to the Lord. The Bible says again in verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Her plan how to fight the devil was to learn, was to run to the Lord. So she ran to meet him. She was living with the problem, but wasn't going to die with it. She had a plan. Now, in verse number 22, here's part of the plan. She came to the Lord with tears. Notice, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Her plan was to come to the Lord with tears. I want to say this morning, thank God. Thank God that this child had a mother that loved her enough to shed some tears over her. Amen. We need some moms this morning that have enough of enough and tired of seeing the devil win and tired of seeing things out of array that will get down on their knees and cry out to Almighty God and say, God, please help my family. Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried, and cried. I tell you, I can remember growing up, my mom, she's in heaven this morning, but I can remember her crying after me. Listen, high school dropout here. I did go back and finish my education. I want that to be known. But I was a high school dropout, drugs, alcohol, fighting, cussing, stealing, all that stuff. That was me. And I can't tell you the nights that I came home and my mom was up crying and begging me to change and be different and all of those things. Thank God for mamas who care. Amen. Then there came a time where I moved in with my grandparents because mom and dad moved around so much. We wanted to be stationary. And the same thing, I would leave at night and come back in the morning time and hangovers and broke and no life, no direction, no nothing, sad and depressed, never came out of the back room. But thank God I have a grandmother who prayed for me and loved God and cried out for help for me. Praise the Lord this morning for families who have mothers who shed some tears over their children. So the mother's plan was to come to the Lord with tears. But then she came to the Lord, this plan, with humility. In verse number 22, again, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord." Humility. This mother knew God owed her nothing. God owed her nothing. It wasn't any kind of righteous deeds that she has done. It wasn't anything that she earned. Listen, there's no merits. She knew the only way to get God's attention was through humility. And so she came and she cried and she said, "Have mercy on me." She knew everything she got from God was because of mercy, not because she deserved it. How we need some mothers this morning that have a plan. We need some mothers this morning who plan to just come to the Lord and shed some tears over their kids, over their families, to express humility to God. Say, "God, I know that I don't deserve you to do anything in my life. I know there's nothing I've done for you to come through for my family, but I'm asking you, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy." And so this morning, when a mother gets desperate enough, she will shed some tears for her children and humble herself, and God will help. He will help. Not only we see that she had a plan, she had a problem, she had a plan, but then number three, she had a provider. And I want to spend a few moments here on this one. She had a problem, she had a plan, she had a provider. And again, the subject is how a mother fights the devil. Verse number 23. Now this is after she went to the Lord and she cried unto him, asking for mercy. Now notice verse number 23. But he, Jesus, answered her not a word. The Lord was her provider. She went to him, but he did not answer her. There were some things she had to overcome as she was making her way to her provider. She had to overcome silence. Jesus, the devil is after my daughter. Would you please help her? Zip. He didn't say a word. I'm talking about those times when God is silent, when things seem to be out of control, seems like God doesn't care, there's tough times, and the heavens are silent. During those times, we're tempted to ask, "Where are you, God?" And sometimes we do ask, "Where are you, God?" The devil's after my kid, I've called out for help, and nothing happens. God, why? All those self-righteous people say, "Oh, I never question God, why? Oh, let the right circumstances come by." You're going to ask God why. You may not say it with your lips, but you'll think in your head, "Listen, if the darling Son of God said, why has thou forsaken me?" You'll say it too. Why, Lord, why? She cried out to him, but he answered not a word. Not a word. Now, this is a little side note under our third point. She had a provider. She had to overcome silence. But under that little side note here, I want to give you five things to do when God is silent. This is a message all within itself, but I decided just to put it in here. She had overcome silence. Here's five things to do when God seems silent. Number one, examine your life. Make sure there is not a habitual sin you are practicing. Now, you don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not preaching perfection. Jesus is our perfection. But if there is a habitual continual, on purpose, planned kind of sinning going on in your life, God will get silent. God will get silent. And so examine your life. The Bible tells us, let us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run the race that's set before us. God is silent, examine your life. God is silent, accept His authority. What do you mean? God can do what He wants to do. You know that? He didn't have to come. He didn't have to bleed. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to save us. And listen, God can do what He wants to do. If He wants to get silent on us, He'll get silent on us. Accept God's authority. But then what about this, number three, when God seems to be silent? Listen to what He said already. Did you know the Bible is full of instruction? He's already spoken. Brother Justin, what do I do in this situation? Are you reading your Bible? What does the Bible say? Well, I haven't read it. I haven't read it lately. Well, maybe you want to read it. You know, when I got to thinking that with people who have problems that just, it seems like they never have any freedom in their life, and it's problem after problem, I think I want to start doing this when they come to me. How about after every sermon preached for a month, you come to the altar and talk to God about it? And then, if that don't work, come see me. Because I think we're missing something in this Christian walk of ours. I think we're missing our own personal responsibility. Amen? And listen, God has already said, I want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. This is good for you. That ain't good for you. What you going to do? If you walk with me, I'll walk with you. You walk in the light as I'm in the light. We'll have fellowship. Brother Justin, why does God seem so distant in my life? Well, the Bible says if you walk in the light as He's in the light, you will have fellowship. He won't seem distant. We are supposed to be children of light who have came out of darkness. At one time in life, we loved our deeds because our deeds were evil. But if we're genuinely saved, God brings us from the darkness to the light. So, that's number three. What to do when God seems silent? Listen to what He said already. But number four, I like this one. When God seems silent, recognize silence can be intimate. Silence can be intimate. Listen, silence can mean that God trusts you. And He is calling for a time of intimacy. You remember the story of Lazarus when he died, Mary and Martha, they were devastated. They needed the Lord. He did not come. But you see, it was a situation there, I believe, the more that I look at that story, that it was an opportunity for intimacy. Meaning that the Lord is... He has not come, and Lazarus is dead. And of course, they were upset and they were devastated. Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? People have what they think. Why Jesus wept? But I tell you, maybe the reason why Jesus wept, because they didn't have no trust in Him. Maybe. Just maybe. And so we see that there was this calling for closeness during that experience. He wanted to bring them in so that they could understand His power. And certainly He called Lazarus from the grave. So the next time Mary and Martha would have an experience of silence, they again would have the challenge to trust in God, that God knows what He's doing, and that God trusts them because they trust God. I know that's a lot of wording, but Listen, it is possible this morning that when you are completely comfortable with a person, you can sit in the same room and not say a word and be totally content. Why? Because you know what they're thinking. They know what you're thinking. You know how they're feeling. They know how you're feeling. They know you. You know them. They can trust you. You can trust them. I mean, me and Christy, we can hop in the car and go to Blue Ridge and not say a word. But about 60 seconds into it, we're talking up a storm. I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. This is something that happens with intimacy. So when God seems silent, it could be that He is trusting you with the silence. Come on, child of mine, you know me. I'm your provider. You know I'm going to come through for you. Why are you so agitated? And again, Jesus wept. Sometimes God is silent because it's a move for intimacy, and it could mean God trusts you. You remember when the case with Job, when God was silent with Job? For 37 chapters, God didn't say a word. Job lost his health. Job lost his wealth. Job lost his family. Let me ask you, why did that trial happen to Job? I'll tell you why. Because God trusted him with silence. The devil was going to and fro up and down the earth trying to find someone that would challenge him. God said, have you considered my servant Job? God could be silent in your life right now because God trusts you with the process. He knows you're not going to give up. Oh, we feel like it sometimes, don't we? We feel like we want to throw in the towel sometimes. We feel like we want to give up, and yet God is silent. And could it be that God has a level of intimacy He wants with us and He trusts us? I think so. Oswald Chambers said this: when you cannot hear God, you will find that He has trusted you in the most intimate way possible with absolute silence. Not of despair, but pleasure, knowing that you're trusting Him. She had a provider, but she had to overcome silence. But there's a second thing she had to overcome. She had to overcome rudeness. Look at verse 23. But He answered her not a word, and His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. I mean, they were just absolutely rude, those disciples were. She came needing help for her daughter that was demon-possessed. Lord, the devil's after my daughter. Would you please help? The disciples said, send her away. Times you got to deal with rudeness. But then there's ego here. Look at the rest of that verse. For she crieth after us. No. This woman wasn't crying after the disciples for help. She was crying after the Lord for help. These disciples were so filled with ego, they thought that they were the ones that were going to perform the miracle. She called on God for help. So she had to overcome rudeness. She had to overcome ego. But then she had to overcome ignorance. Verse number 22. Listen to this about middle ways down. And cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She had to overcome ignorance. She had no claims on addressing Jesus as son of David. You know that? That's why the Bible says He answered her not a word. I say that because this woman was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a mixture of several races. She was a Gentile. And so finally, in verse number 24, he did answer. You know what he said? But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. So basically, he's saying, I came to fulfill prophecy as king to the Jews. Verse number 25, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. This is more humility expressed. Look at verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow. What does that mean? Gentiles were considered dogs. And the reference to children's bread here is symbolic to that special relationship between God and his chosen people. He said, look, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. It's not meat for me to take this special relationship and act in your behalf. What the Bible says. In verse number 27. And she said, truth, Lord. You're right. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She was so humbled, and at God's mercy, she was willing to be okay with being a Gentile dog. All she needed was a crumb of a blessing. All she needed was a touch from the Lord. She was abased. She was humbled. She was crying out to God. The devil was after her daughter. She says, God, all I need is a crumb. And this morning, I believe that that's the way we ought to come to the Lord. Thank God the Gentiles were engrafted in later on. But I believe this morning the way that she came, and the reason the story is here, it shows the desperation of a great godly mother who went to the Lord when the devil was after her child. Jesus saw the love this mother had for her daughter and him, that she came to him as provider. And she got help. Look at verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. She was cured. So again, I say that God placed this great mother in the scriptures so that we can learn from her. We can learn from her. I want to say this morning that this unconventional Mother's Day message, that the devil is after our kids. And mothers, we honor you this morning for being that mother who is dedicated, determined, dependable, who's been there, who has prayed those tears, who has read that Bible, has brought their kids to church. We honor you for doing that. But this morning, the devil may have a young person in his scope. And I'm reaching out to mothers and fathers, friends and family, to back your young person up in prayer and in love. How a mother fights the devil. She had a problem. She had a plan. She had a provider. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. I just pray that you would take this message and my stumbling words and use it, Lord, for your benefit. Lord, let there not be any hesitancy for any mom to come, for any dad to come, any person to come this morning to the altar. That's why we're here. We love you today, and we thank you. Give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Let's stand to our feet. Please come. If you need to come, want to come, think it's a good idea to come, you come. There's nothing like doing business with the Lord when the word is preached. So you come.
Just as I am, without one thing.
Some are coming.
But thy blood was shed.
We thank God for you, mothers.
And
we thank God for you.
Thou bidest me come.
God will give you strength. God will give you grace to keep on keeping on.
Of God I come. I come.
Continuing to play softly, sing softly while these are here.
Just as I am and waiting to.
We're here for you, mothers. You need to come, you come. There's no embarrassment, no shame. We are all here for the same purpose, to seek the Lord and be used of Him. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'll meet you, talk to you about it if you like.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, and cleanse me. Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just play softly for a moment. Couple praying down here. Don't leave us yet. We've got a gift we want to give to the mothers. Just a second. All right, we appreciate all of you that came down this morning, and I just want to say there will be no evening service tonight, but before we leave, we definitely want to recognize the mothers. We have a song we want to sing, the girls. And so, girls, I guess if you would like to come around, get ready. Do we have the gifts prepared? Oh, yes, we do, don't we? Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Okay, we want to ask Calvary Children's Home house moms to come on down. Tammy, Miss Elna, I know Miss Darlene's away, Miss Melita's away. We'd like for y'all to come and stand in front of the pulpit and to receive your gifts. And then after they come down, the girls will start singing and we'll have all the mothers come down. If you'll just fan out amongst the front of the over here, and then I'll ask Miss Lee Ellen if you'll just please get a group picture. Take one group picture and then 3 segment pictures, please.
All right. So you want to pass the gifts out. Okay, and so after she starts passing the gifts out, the girls start singing, all other mothers come down and receive your gifts. Go.
I don't know why God made one bedroom apartments out of state. I don't know why He made hometowns if it's somewhere I can't stay. I don't know why He made growing up, but I guess that we're all gonna. Yeah, I don't know a lot of things, but I know why God. to. For the when you don't know what to do. For the phone calls saying don't forget, I'm always in your corner. For the heart that makes a house a home. For the knowing that you're not alone. For the darling, don't you dare give up, even when you wanna. Yeah, that's why God made mamas. For putting band-aids on to scrape the knees, wiping tears away. For picking up the pieces when that dream don't go your way. For always giving more than taking, always what you need. And showing you that fighting's always best done on your knees. Open arms to fall into. For the way you don't know what to do.
Yes.
For the phone call saying don't
forget,
I'm always in your corner. For the heart that makes a house a home. For the knowing that you're not alone. For the darling, don't you dare give up, even when you wanna. Yeah, that's why God made mamas. Oh. I don't know why God made living life down here so hard to do. But I know why God made mamas, 'cause he knew I needed you. For the open arms to fall into. For the way you don't know what to do. For the phone call saying don't forget, I'm always in your corner. For the heart that makes a house a home. For the knowing that you're not alone. For the darling, don't you dare give up, even when you wanna. Yeah, that's why God made mamas. Oh,
so very much, mothers. We love you so very much. Thank you for all you do, mothers, grandmothers. And do we have any great grandmothers here this morning?
I'm going to be.
Going to be, and Miss Claudia said, all right. Yeah, we have a great great. My grandmother's great great grandmother. Is that a great, great, or great, great, great? They're all great. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming. Enjoy your afternoon, your evening with your family. God bless you. We'll meet back on Wednesday night for midweek services. And if you don't have a place of worship, we'd love to have you. You're dismissed. God bless you.